Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, I don't normally believe in do-overs, but after all the technical difficulties of my most recent episode of the Car Session Sports Report, I felt it was only right that I give myself a do-over. I'm just saying. It's your boy, Jav. It's the Car Session Sports Report. And I'd like to say that with everything that happened with Colin Kaepernick in the past week, we're going to call it the Colin Kaepernick news cycle. A lot of things, a lot of major things, a lot of critical things were able to fly under the radar. So now the question you're going to ask me now is, what are you talking about, Jav? What could have possibly flown under the radar that didn't get paid attention to? Well, for one, the Knicks' biggest acquisition in the offseason, Derrick Rose, has a rape charge hovering over him. Yeah, how much of y'all knew that? Apparently, a lot of us scoffed at the rape charge at the time when it became news because the person in particular, the woman in particular, excuse me, she didn't pursue criminal charges. She went straight for the civil route. So a lot of people, not myself, because I didn't pay much attention to it once I saw a civil suit, you know, I said, all right, whatever, and I went on to something else. But most people who were following the story saw a civil suit and looked at it as a money grab, as opposed to a person or a woman, I keep saying person, I keep generalizing, as opposed to a woman who had her rights violated. So apparently last week, while we were wondering why he kneeled as opposed to sitting down, or sat down as opposed to kneeling, or what, well, like the who, what, where, when, and why, and how, and all these other things about Colin Kaepernick, instead of focusing on the real issue at hand with Colin Kaepernick, we totally missed that it's a gang rape. It's not just your typical rape, but a gang rape. Yeah. Apparently, if you hear any noise in the background, that's me. I'm driving right now. Car Sessions is going back to his roots. Quick tangent. The name of the show is Car Sessions because when I first started doing this podcast, I used to literally record the show while driving home from school or work or wherever I was coming from. And you would hear all the sounds of driving in New York City. I work in Lower Manhattan now. I'm not going to say where. Lower Manhattan is a vast place. I had a little overtime, so I decided that instead of using the wonderful mass transit system that is in New York City, I decided to drive because, you know, I was getting off late and I didn't feel like being on the train. But I digress. Car Sessions is back to his roots. Recording in the car, so if you hear anything like a horn or anything, I'm talking to somebody, or even a bit of road rage, you'll hear it here. Car Sessions. So now you know a little history lesson of why people would listen to the show. Like, why is it called Car Sessions? Because I used to record it in the car. So now I just keep the car aesthetic. I keep the music playing in the background, but I'm not in a whip. I'm just recording. But tonight and going forward, the second Car Sessions throughout the week will be called Car Sessions in New York City, because I'll be driving through my city talking sports and talking whatever I decide to talk about with you guys while in my car. But anyway, back to Derrick Rose and his whole gang rape situation. Apparently, he was texting this young lady around, 2 o'clock in the morning. All the while, he was standing outside of her car. Yes. Standing outside of her car. Standing outside of her house. Texting back and forth. Now, one time throughout the text message exchange, was there any talk of Derrick Rose plus 3. There was no talk of a Derrick Rose plus 3. It was talk of Derrick Rose. when Derrick Rose, you know, spoke to the authorities, he said, and I quote, 1 a.m. in the morning, it has to be assumed that X, Y, and Z is going down. Are you kidding me? Derrick! You know what? Let's have a real moment here. I understand what he's saying. Because this is an adult show, maybe kids do listen. So maybe they don't, but I direct my audience to that of adults. 1 o'clock in the morning is booty call hours. 1 o'clock in the morning, anytime after 11 p.m. in your text messaging, to be fair, those are booty call hours. But I don't think those hours is booty call hours plus my homeboys, my three homeboys. So now, with that being said, and it sounded a little chauvinistic the way he went about it, it adds credence to this civil case. Don't get me wrong. If a woman gets violated sexually in a gang rape situation, in a gang rape environment, and she's not pursuing criminal charges, it's a red flag for me. I have to be fair here. I'm just on call sessions. I keep it real. It looks bad. If you've been violated, if your privacy and your rights have been violated, don't you want to pursue it to the highest end? No, you just want some money? But Derrick Rose's comments add credence to her civil case. And honestly, it's looking like, I'm going to keep it funky with y'all, it's looking like she's going to get that money. That one quote becoming public, in the eye of the public, in the eye of a jury who has to decide upon it, Derrick Rose is going to have to come off some paper. He's going to have to come off a lot of paper. So while we're wondering about Colin Kaepernick and the Colin Kaepernick news cycle, the biggest acquisition on the biggest team in New York basketball, no offense, Brooklyn Nets, has a gang rape allegation over his head, and he will. I'm calling it right now. He will pay up. I know it's nothing big. All right, y'all calling it. Oh, big deal. It's a civil suit. Of course, they always pay. But I'm just saying, you're a New York Nick, the media capital of the world. The Knicks lose again. Mm-mm-mm. Another thing that flew under the radar. You know, it blipped on the radar. We saw it. We saw it. But we didn't pay that much attention to it. Was this whole Odell Beckham, Josh Norman, talking in the media once again. I don't know about y'all, but me personally, I'm over it. I've been saying it on car sessions repeatedly over the past few weeks, past few months. I'm over this whole Josh Norman and Odell Beckham deal. These two guys, these two men, they keep each other's names in their mouths. They're like, it's catty. It's so catty. It's like, come on now, fellas. Come on, fellas. Just play football. I'm really starting to wonder here that, are they in on the joke? See, there you go. You heard the horn. This guy, this stupid cab driver, tries to cut me off. It's car sessions in New York City. But anyway, I'm starting to wonder if they're in on it. What y'all think? This has to be a work, because I've never seen two men who are not about to fight, right? They're not boxers. They're not wrestlers. They're not UFC competitors. They're not pride fighters. They're not in any other mixed martial arts, whatever it is, as you can see here outside of UFC. I know it's not. They're not Bellator fighters. But these two guys talk like they loathe each other. They have to be pumping up their September 25th game, because What is it? It has to be like WrestleMania, Redskins versus Giants at this point, September 25th. And they have to be in on it. They have to be drumming up attention for this game. It can't be. I don't want to believe that it's possible. I don't really want to believe that it's possible that these two guys can just be okay with talking about each other every time there's a microphone in front of them. If I, all right, they got to say, well, he asked me the question. I answered it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I get it. But you can refuse to answer the question. You guys want to talk about each other. I don't know another man alive that I'd want to talk about so much. You know what I mean? It has to be WrestleMania Giants versus Redskins. It has to be. Everybody's in on the joke. The media's not in on the joke. Norman, Beckham, the Giants, and the Redskins are all in on the joke. They're privy to this secret. But on the off chance that they're not in on the joke, right? If I'm Vince McMahon, if I'm Dana White, if I'm Floyd Mayweather, if I'm Oscar De La Hoya, whatever promotion that needs to make this fight happen in the offseason, right after the Super Bowl. Oh, you know what they could do? They can replace the Pro Bowl with this fight. Make it a super card. You get some known fighters to do the undercard. And in the main event of whatever event it will be, Odell Beckham versus Josh Norman. That has to be the main event. I remember back in the day, you had a little feud with Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone. And lo and behold, Dennis Rodman becomes a member of the NWO. And Karl Malone links up with Diamond Dallas Page, right? And they have a whole Bash at the Beach pay-per-view event. And you got to remember, Bash at the Beach back in those days was the equivalent of what SummerSlam was. That was the biggest event of the summer for WCW, and they capitalized off of a sports feud to make some money. So again, if I'm Vince McMahon, if I'm Dana White, if I'm Floyd Mayweather, if I'm Oscar De La Hoya, I have to make something happen. There has to be a super card with a big pay-per-view fight. Josh Norman versus Odell Beckham. That will be the most purchased pay-per-view fight in all of sports. And somebody just almost crashed. I just heard tires screech. Somebody almost crashed. It is car sessions in New York City. I don't know if y'all heard the tires screeching in the background, but I sure heard it. That is one of the most terrifying things. When you're driving in your car and you hear tires screeching and you don't see where it's coming from, you're just crossing your fingers and hoping that it's not somebody about to hit you from some angle that you're not paying attention to. But as you can tell, it didn't happen to me. I got a couple of yellow cabs in front of me. If you're in New York and you're listening to this show, you already know what it is with yellow cabs. They are the worst drivers on earth. But yes, as I was saying, that would be the most purchased pay-per-view fight ever. Ever. You think about the NFL fan base. The amount of millions of people who follow the NFL, who followed this story. Look how big the Norman Odell story got when they played in that one game last year, Carolina versus the Giants. Imagine the amount of people who will flock to that fight. They have to make that fight happen. I'm not promoting violence here on car sessions, people. No, I'm not. But real recognize real. You guys, if you're not gonna hug it out, and you gotta keep talking about each other, pay-per-view, sanctioned mixed martial arts or sanctioned boxing event, make it happen. Yeah. Staying on the Odell Beckham topic, he was talking about not being well liked or whatever the case may be, and being a villain. And I guess once again, an athlete gets asked a question and he has to answer it, right? I guess. You know what? We know in the NFL, there's a certain level, you know, of homophobia. It's real. It's prevalent. Let's not put our heads in the sands. We know what happens out here. It's a lot of homophobia. It's a lot of side-eyeing when your sexual preference is questioned. Odell Beckham has, in the eyes of many, done things that are sexually questionable. And he says in the interview that, you know, some guys, they don't like that he has fun. They don't like his style. And I can see that. Odell Beckham, while he's an apex athlete, he's an athlete's athlete. He does things that are a little questionable, but people have to understand that it's a generational thing. What we looked at as soft, coming from an era of a lot of machismo, what we looked at as something as soft in today's era with the youth, because Odell's not 30 years old, Odell's about, 22, 23. To his generation, what he's doing is considered swag. Back in our day, you know, I'm not to sound like an old head, but you know, growing up with Iversons and the Kobe's, they weren't dressing like Russell Westbrook and dancing like Odell. Because their sexuality will come into question. You're seeing it happen right now with Odell Beckham. And part of the dislike is because they're questioning his sexuality. We're keeping it real here. I don't care. Well, why filter the facts? The facts are a lot of football players in the NFL, while they haven't said it overtly, it's been suggested. And even some NFL fans, it's been suggested. And, you know, if you on the internet, they flat out call him the F word, among other things. They don't like the fact that he's, you know, enjoying himself, and they consider that to be homosexual. Yes, yes. They consider it homosexual, and they don't like the fact that this guy, who they perceive to be soft, is killing them on the football field on top of that. Yes, it's a fact. So when Odell Beckham is saying something like not being liked, that's really what it is. If Odell Beckham was questionable in the eyes of those people in terms of his preference, but he wasn't giving it to them on the football field week in and week out, they would love Odell Beckham. Nobody cares about Michael Sam. He wasn't very good. He was okay, but he wasn't NFL quality. And they didn't care about him. They slapped hands. They played. There was no stories. There was no unnecessary things happening on the field. Although he was out. And they didn't do unnecessary things. There was no cheap shots or anything of that nature. But you see with Odell Beckham, they see the guy with the blonde hair. He's not the biggest guy in the football. He's not Julio Jones out here. And I've seen the cheap shots happen. I've seen things happen to where Odell Beckham could feel like he's not liked. So, Odell, when they ask you these questions going forward, it's probably in your best interest to find a way to evade the question. Because you know what? You're in a position right now where maybe you're not liked. Not maybe. You're not liked. But you, everything you say will be placed under a microscope, or it's going to just bring a level of attention that you know you don't want to. You just want to play football. You want to be the greatest receiver you can be. So you got to start mastering New York media. Evade and sidestep. Don't step in it. Or don't even barely like clip the piece, as opposed to stepping in it. Just avoid the turd altogether. Don't step in it. Don't clip it. Just evade. Take the Derek Jeter masterclass on how to handle the media, so that you don't have to worry about anything. I'm your guy. I mess with Odell Beckham. I think he's great. I think he's the best receiver in the NFL right now. I don't care. Y'all could disagree, listeners. That's okay. That's what sports is all about. We're not always gonna agree. There's gonna be dissenting opinion out here. I think Odell's the best. It's not because of, you know, there's no knock against Antonio Brown or Julio Jones. But if you look at what Odell Beckham has done coming into the league, the last receiver to do what he did coming into the league was Randy Moss. And that's a fact. Odell's only getting better. Be mindful of that. Another story. You hear the sirens in the background? But another story flew under the radar. I mean, it got reported because, you know, that's how the news cycles work. You have your smartphones, you have your devices, you have your 24-hour news cycle. So they spoke about it. was, you know, the Sam Bradford going to the Minnesota Vikings. So now we got the story here. First round pick, Vikings might have got robbed, etc., etc. You've heard it all. I know. I'm not here to beat the dead horse. But what I wanted to talk about is the fact that we're not really appreciating the fact that the Eagles rolled through Minnesota with their ski mask on. Forget getting robbed. They put their ski mask on, picked their weapon up, slapped the club that the Vikings usually walk around with. Yes, Vikings have clubs. Slapped the club out of their hand, drew their weapon, and said, "Give me your first round pick and take this scrub, Sam Bradford. Take and give us what you got. Put your hands up." On top of the fact that they get rid of Sam Bradford, right? Robbed him with the ski mask on. Robbed the Vikings, right? But they're starting Carson Wentz, who played a smidgen in the preseason. So they're basically tanking the season, and they don't even have their own first round pick. So if they're any off chance that the Vikings and Sam Bradford get this right, they'll have a late first round pick and can't even reap the benefits of tanking. So while y'all were losing y'all minds about the fact that, you know, the Eagles got theirs the fast way, ski mask way, all right, they did. They're tanking their season and won't even reap the benefits. Who's running the Eagles? Again, y'all wondering, y'all trying to figure out the who, what, where, when, why, and how of Colin Kaepernick, whether it's sitting or kneeling, why he did it, what was his angle, what was his agendas, when the Eagles don't have a plan. They don't have a plan. Going back to Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford is like that homeboy that we all had, right? Always loses a job. But for the amount of times that he's lost a job, he always gets work. He always gets work, no matter what. Whereas you're holding on to your job, afraid to lose it because you don't know when you're going to get another job. You're afraid, but your homeboy sucks at every job he gets and always finds a job. Like, who's doing his resume? Sam Bradford is a living embodiment of the golden parachute. He's always going to land on his feet, regardless. He's always going to win. You get what I'm saying? Yo, Sam Bradford is that dude. Now that I think about it, he's really that guy. Who? Yo, Tebow. They reported about his whole tryout. The Mets got him. All right, I know. For Mets fans, up in arms. Listen, it's business. He'll never even get out of the instructional league. And if he does, he'll go to some lower tier minor league team. Y'all have to remember the Mets are in debt. They haven't finished paying off from that whole Bernie Madoff situation. The Bernie Madoff ordeal has left them, you know, this has left their money a little funny, right? Having Tim Tebow in the organization brings money to the Mets, and it helps pay their debts. When he's in the instructional league, more people will spend money to go see Tebow play. More people will spend money if he is to go to a lower tier minor league team to see Tebow play. He will be playing in front of sellout crowds in minor league stadiums. Believe that. Believe that. So the Mets made a shrewd business move. It's easy money. It doesn't matter if those teams are good or bad. Tebow is box office. I wish he would stop being so selfish and just go play tight end, because you have no business playing baseball. You're going to be treated like a sideshow. Have you no pride, Tim Tebow? You're okay with being a sideshow just to play sports your way? I get you want to do it your way, but everybody can't be Frank Sinatra. But whatever. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about Tim Tebow, Met fans. What you need to be concerned with, though, when it comes to Tebow, is the fact that... I missed my turn, by the way. Is the fact that Sam Bradford and Tim Tebow played against each other in the national championship game many years ago in the BCS national title game. Tebow won. Tebow won an NFL playoff game. Sam Bradford has never done that. Yet, Sam Bradford keeps getting work and Tim Tebow got pushed out of the NFL. That's not fair. That's really the story here. You see where I went with that? That's really the story here. Tebow has done everything better than Sam Bradford, essentially on the football field when it comes to wins and losses. Can't get a job. Sam Bradford keeps getting work and has never accomplished anything outside of winning a Heisman Trophy. That's not fair. Much like me missing my turn. That wasn't fair either. But anyway, gonna make the turn now. Now I gotta talk a little Colin Kaepernick. So now I don't see, you know, I've been throwing this name around. I've been, you know, the whole tent pole of this episode of Car Sessions, going back to his roots in the whip, was Colin Kaepernick. But I'm not gonna go political, I'm not gonna go racial on you guys with this word. What I'm actually gonna do is talk about something that has not been reported or has been underreported with this whole scandal or situation. I'm not sure what to call this one. It's not a scandal. It's a moment in time. That's exactly what this is. See how people have, you know, responded to it. You know, you got other athletes who are taking knees in other sports and things of that nature. Entertainers wearing the Kaepernick jersey and the Kaepernick jersey being a top selling thing. It's a moment in time. But what we haven't really talked about is the chess move pulled off by Colin Kaepernick. So now you're going to say to yourself, like, what are you talking about, man? Like, chess move? Like, what did he do? The NFL prides itself, right, on looking good. The shield has to look good. Am I right or am I right? How does it look for the San Francisco 49ers? Stay with me here. How does it look for the San Francisco 49ers if they cut a guy who's making a racial stand? And if anything, like I said last week, all he did was state the obvious. His action made the obvious a little questionable when you look at it on his head. When you look at it in black and white, all he did was state the obvious. He stated something that we all know. So how would it look if an organization went about releasing him, saying he's a distraction for stating the obvious, talking about racial unrest in America? Colin Kaepernick checkmated the 49ers, because the 49ers, there's a possibility that starts floating around that They might get called racist. And with everything happening with Chip Kelly in Philadelphia, Chip Kelly can't afford to have the race word thrown his way again. Do remember when the training camp started, even going back to the OTAs. Remember Kaepernick tried to get out of town, and after that didn't work out. During the training camp process, it was talked that he wouldn't make it through training camp and he would get cut. By doing what he did, he checkmated this team to where there was nothing they could possibly do. They couldn't release him because they had to save face. Usually if you're a distraction in the NFL, you're gone. But beyond being a distraction, the shield has to look good. The shield has to be above certain things that bring down America. Pay attention to the NFL. Everything, the NFL tries to be as black and white as possible Although Goodell constantly gets the rumble, we're not going to get into that. But they try to be above everything. And if the 49ers would have released him now, it would look so terrible. And we don't even salute Kaepernick for that. So, shout out to Colin Kaepernick on that chess move. I had to pause for a second. I was driving, and I just saw somebody just crossing the street all reckless, like they were invisible or something. Like they had no fear of getting hit by a car. But anyway, another thing I wanted to talk about with this Colin Kaepernick deal is those people who are doing shows, right? You're on these sports networks, whether it's like general reporting, you're an anchor, you're a host of a TV show, you're a host of a radio show, you're a host of a podcast, any medium that covers sports, that's what you do. You discuss the Kaepernick story, but you really didn't get into the meat of it. You tried to make it about something that it wasn't even about. You tippy-toed around the issue. You played hopscotch. You double-dutched it. You didn't really get into the teeth of it. Or if anything at all, you completely missed the whole point of the whole story. So I'm going to say that, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this one time. If you're going to cover a story, especially a story of that magnitude, do it the right way or don't do it at all. I'm not asking for much. I like my sports talk to be high quality. I like everything I do to be as high as quality as possible. And if I don't do it right, I'm not above reproach. I'll let you in on the joke if I do it wrong. Long story short. But if you're going to talk about any story, whether it's a major story like what happened with Kaepernick, or even a minor story like the single that the batter hit in the first inning of a baseball game, do it right or don't do it at all. We as sports fans, we deserve everything to be as good a quality as possible. As I've said in the past, you've seen a situation, you've seen things come about where the delivery of sports and sports information has been taking a hit because people have agendas, and then as opposed to just reporting the news, and it hurts the overall product as a whole. I'm tired of the product being hurt. I want it to be done the right way. I'm not asking for much. So if you're going to do any story, do it right or don't do it at all. Don't do the show no more. Just get up out of here and let the people who are good at it do it. I ain't trying to pop my collar, but I'm pretty good at it. People like car sessions. You know, also, I wanted to get to this real quick. We were doing the NFC East preview along with all the technical difficulties. We didn't get to wrap it up. But for me, I had the Giants winning the division. I had the Redskins and the Cowboys interchangeable based on what would happen with the Cowboys without Tony Romo. If that, like I said, if Dak Prescott did what he needed to do as a quarterback, did just enough to not mess it up, the Cowboys had a chance to finish in second place. But if, you know, if he completely crapped the bed, Cowboys finish in third, Redskins finish in second, Eagles are in last place regardless. TJ, on the other hand, he had the Giants in first, Redskins, I believe he had the Redskins in second place, Cowboys in third. Actually, no, he had the Cowboys in second, Redskins in third, Eagles in last place. We agreed on first and last, but he was sturdy. He didn't hedge like I did with the Redskins and the Cowboys. I respect him for that, but I don't get paid to give Stone Cold the opinions. Matter of fact, I don't even get paid to do cautions, so I can do what I want to do. You know? There's another thing I kind of wanted to get into before I let you guys go and I'm gonna finish my drive. It's this whole, they're really trying hard. They're trying too hard. They being the people in the media, the powers that be within the media, to make the Golden State Warriors a villain. Here's the thing about being a villain in any form. It has to just happen. You can't place someone in a villain role and they just become bad guys. That's not how this works. It's sad because some people are actually drinking it up. They're believing it. But the Warriors are not villains yet. They won one championship that was not respected. Let's keep it real. A lot of y'all didn't respect that championship because of the fact that the Cavaliers, you know, had a lot of injuries. And then they followed it up by winning 70-plus games, 73 to be exact, and getting beat by a healthy Cavaliers team, completely validating what a lot of you felt about them in the first place. So how can they be villains if you don't respect them? When you're a villain in sports, being a villain more than anything else comes with the fact that most fans who hate that team respect them because they win. Kind of like Alabama's a villain. Nick Saban is a villain. The Golden State Warriors are not respected enough to be villains. Are they a little too swaggy for some certain people's taste? Of course. If you win 69 games in the championship and follow that up with 73 wins and you're hitting threesome everywhere, you can have a little fun with it. But I didn't see a team that was... I think the only guy who was probably arrogant on that team was Draymond Green. And Draymond is a goon. He is who he is. But to say that this team is, you know, they're cocky and they're arrogant and they're villains. No. You people here are trying to position them as villains because of the fact that they signed Kevin Durant. Listen, all people who watch the game and know the game will tell you that Kevin Durant signing was basketball, man. That's all it was. It's basketball. Kevin Durant made the best basketball decision he's made in a very long time going where he went. That has nothing to do with being a villain. This is not the Miami Heat. It's not LeBron James stabbing his home city or his home state in the back. It's not them coming out and to the confetti and the smoke machines and all of that, looking like the NWO, LeBron Turnhill and all that. It's not that. Stop trying to make it that. The only thing Miami Heat like it is on its head is the best player or one of the best players coming together to make a super team. That's the only similarity that there is. These guys are not villains. They're not bad dudes. They haven't won enough championships to be considered villains on any level. You trying to say, oh, Steph is trying to make excuses for being hurt. That's another part of the villain ploy going on here. He's making excuses, Nee. Oh, everybody's hurt in the playoffs. Nobody's 100%. I'm so sick and tired of all of you saying that hot bleeping garbage. It's hot garbage. Stop saying that bogus rhetoric about nobody's 100% in the playoffs. You know what nobody is in the playoffs also? Playing with a sprained MCL. All of you people with your circumstantial memory forgot that when he had the knee injury, Steph Curry was a few centimeters away from tearing his ACL. And when he sprained his MCL, he was supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks. But then y'all want to talk about, oh, he's not hurt, it's an excuse. He couldn't get around Tristan Thompson. You telling me Tristan Thompson all of a sudden became that great of an on-ball defender? He couldn't shoot over anybody. He had no lift. All of that is, oh, he's not hurt. He's not hurt. He's not injured. So we forgot that he was supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks. But y'all hold on to the fact that Steph came back against Portland and had the I'm back game. All right, he did. He had the I'm back game mostly in the second half because he couldn't get loose in the first half because his knee was messed up. How many good first halves does Steph have coming off that knee injury? How many good games does Steph have coming off that knee injury? Y'all trying to make Steph a choke artist when Steph had a few... Steph has shown you enough in 2 years in the playoffs when he was right that he could play ball. The moment wasn't too big for Steph. His game doesn't translate to high-level playoff basketball due to knowledge. Steph Curry's game is not that of a LeBron or even a Kyrie. It doesn't translate in the playoffs when you have to come off screens and guys are playing a little more physical and the referees are a lot more goal. It's not going to translate. For Steph's game to translate in the playoffs, he has to be hot every night. I shouldn't have to spell this out for you. He didn't choke. He played with one knee. You all saw the knee injury. His knee went one way, his body went the other way. How is it an excuse? How is the obvious an excuse? Because y'all are told with this whole machismo of the athlete and the testosterone and all this and that. Kobe shot 2 free throws with his Achilles torn. He did. And I love Kobe. I'm a Kobe guy. I'm a Laker fan. There's only a handful of Kobe's out there. Y'all didn't vilify LeBron James when he was missing games for a jammed finger, but Kobe was out there playing with a broken finger. So how is a guy playing with a sprained MCL that was supposed to keep him out for 2 months, playing on it not hurt and using it as an excuse? What are y'all talking about? Y'all gotta be better as sports fans. Stop letting people think for y'all. Stop letting the obvious evade you. You know? But real quick, I did see that kid block Steph's shot. That's unacceptable. Steph is like, he's not Kyrie, bro. Get right. That kid, it's almost like you saw Kyrie and forgot how to ball. Combination play that they get in you know what in the finals. He did. You did have one knee. It's fair, but I don't even think if you had two knees, you would have stopped Kyrie. But anyway, don't play ball no more with strangers, Steph. Don't do it. And don't get your shot blocked by the teenage. Oh, my God. Anyway, I hope I was able to enlighten y'all with this episode of Car Sessions in New York City. I'm almost home. This was fun. I'll be doing this every week. I have a major announcement coming with Monday's Car Sessions Sports Report. We're going to relive week one as well. But more importantly, I have a big announcement. Back to the Future is the hint. Back to the Future is the hint. I got a real big surprise for y'all, man. Real big. Until next time, Jarvis out. Peace.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.